members of the public. Welcome to the regular meeting of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board of the Lahontan Region. My name is Peter Pumphrey. I'm from Chalfont, and I am the board chair. I want to thank you for coming to our meeting. We welcome your comments, ideas, and participation because they help us do a better job. At this time, I would like to introduce the other members of the board. Starring on the big screen, from Ellendale, Kimberly Cox, who's at our Victorville office. Keith Diaz, to my right, from Rosamond. Don Jardine, our vice chair, from Markleyville. Eric Sandell from Truckee, and Amy Horn, also from Truckee. The executive officer is Patty Kuyumjin. Ms. Kuyumjin, could you please introduce the members of the staff who are with us this evening?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. To my left, I have Michelle Avila, who's assisting with the board, and Katrina Fleshman, our newest employee, our new executive assistant. Amber White is helping us as well from the board meeting. Elizabeth Barrett is our legal counsel. In the audience, I have Scott Ferguson, our division manager, Ed Hancock from our Tahoe office, Mr. Bob Larson, who you'll hear from later, Ben Lutton, who is also from our Tahoe, one of our division managers, Doug Smith, our assistant executive officer, Rob Tucker from our Tahoe office, Jennifer Watts, you'll hear from her later this evening. We have in the Victorville office, Patrice Copeland, our other division manager. You can't see her, but she's there. And Alonzo Coach. Thank you.
Thank you.
There he is.
The regional board will be considering many items during this meeting. Please feel free to comment on any item so our decision will be made on the basis of all available information. If you wish to speak to an agenda item, please fill out the orange card that looks like this in the back of the room and hand the card to Amber White, our acting board clerk. Also, please respect board members, staff, presenters, and your fellow citizens. Everyone's views should be heard. If a lot of people want to speak, I may place time limits on presentations. If you have any written materials as part of the agenda item, please hand copies to Amber White, and she will distribute them. So that we can have an accurate administrative record, please speak after I call your name and invite you to come up to the lectern. Please communicate your ideas clearly and efficiently. So the first item on the agenda this evening is public forum. Any person may address the board regarding a matter within the Water Board's jurisdiction that is not related to an item on this meeting's agenda or currently pending before the Water Board. And I have one card for this agenda item, Cedric White. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. Oh, that was excellent. There you go. Yeah, Cedric White. My comment this evening is simply to introduce myself. I haven't had a chance to make you all as acquaintances. I am Cedric White. I'm the Regulatory Affairs Manager for Sierra Pacific Industries. If you're not familiar, Sierra Pacific Industries owns about 1,700,000 acres of timberland in California, about 300,000 acres in Washington. In California, they operate 10 sawmills, 5 cogeneration plants, 2 remanufacturing sawmills, and 1 custom wood window manufacturing plant. I'll say they make a fine wood window if you've got a nice view. As Regulatory Affairs Manager, I'm mostly interested in legislation and regulation that could impact how we manage our timberlands here in California. I do that regularly by engaging with commissions and state boards on essentially by providing constructive feedback and ideas so that the regulatory process that you guys undertake creates an efficient and effective regulatory product. With respect to Lahontan, we own about 50,000 acres in Lahontan, not insignificant, and as a means of providing feedback to you all, I polled our forest managers on how that implementation of the timber waiver is going here in the Lahontan. And they gave me some positive feedback. They said that it's an efficient and effective and fair process. So kudos to the timber staff here. Going forward, I just would like to encourage you to reach out to me. Ben Letton has my contact information. If you want Sierra Civic's perspective on any legislation or policies that you're thinking about adopting that could impact timberlands here in California. This evening, I'm interested in hearing what staff and board members have ideas on relative to streamlining permitting processes right now, relative to increasing the base and scale of forest health and resiliency projects, or permit streamlining in general. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Anyone else wish to address the board during this public forum? Thank you. Item number two on the agenda is a consideration of adopting the minutes of the regular board meeting of July 18, 19, which was held in Bishop, California.
I'll make a motion we approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Very well. Roll call. Ms. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Dias?
Aye.
Mr. Jardine?
Aye.
Mr. Sandell?
Yes.
Dr. Horn?
I abstain because I was not at that July meeting.
And I vote aye. Item three on our agenda is the triennial review of the water quality control plan for the Lahontan region, also known as the Basin Plan.
Okay, good evening, Chair Humphrey, and members of the board and the public. My name is Jennifer Watts. I'm an environmental scientist in the Planning and Assessment Unit. Item 3 begins on date stamp 3-1. And the slides for tonight's presentation can be found in Enclosure 6, which begins on date stamp 3-71. There was a late addition in the board packet, which is the pink Enclosure 5. That is the State Board resolution that was adopted on August 7th, adopting the bacteria provisions for Rec 1 beneficial use. Tonight, I'm here to talk about the 2018 triennial review of the water quality control plan for the Lahontan Basin, known as the Basin Plan. This is a public workshop that is only an informational item. The purpose of the workshop is to solicit input from the board and the public and from representatives of public agencies. This is the second triennial review workshop that will take place. The first one occurred in July at the board meeting in Bishop. Later in November, staff will present to you for your consideration a proposed 2018 triennial review list for your consideration at the board meeting in Apple Valley in November. Okay, so this is an overview of the presentation. To begin, I'll provide background and context regarding the Lahontan Basin Plan and the triennial review process. I'll discuss the status of the projects from the 2015 triennial review. I'll briefly discuss the proposed planning projects the basin planning projects and the draft prioritization of those projects, and then I'll present a schedule for when we will bring these to you for your consideration. Finally, I'll answer your questions, take note of your input, and take comments and potentially new project proposals from the audience and from the board. Note that the deadline for written comments was extended to September 24th to allow for a complete 30-day comment period on the draft prioritized list of projects, which is found on our website, if you want more information about that. So the Basin Plan is our planning document for the region, and it includes regulatory content, which includes things like water quality standards and implementation policy, and it includes informational text such as maps and program descriptions.
So the Clean Water Act requires that the water board shall from time to time, but at least once each three-year period, hold public hearings for the purpose of reviewing applicable water quality standards and, as appropriate, modifying and adopting standards. And we call this the triennial review. But this process is the board's opportunity to direct and prioritize basin planning work. And in effect, the triennial review list is the three-year work plan for the basin planning program. So the process to conduct a triennial review requires that we solicit input through a public process. This item and the July workshop were publicly noticed on our website, and messages were sent out through our email subscriptions, our LIRIS list. The public can also engage on this issue at the board hearing in November, when staff's recommendation for the 2018 triennial review will be considered for adoption. In addition to public involvement, we solicited input on basin planning priorities from Lahontan staff and from the board members as well. This eventually led to, will lead to adoption of a list of priorities scheduled for November. The final list is subsequently submitted to US EPA and to the State Water Board Division of Water Quality once we've completed our process. So prioritization is needed because there are limited resources to accomplish the items on the list. Different regions prioritize their projects differently, and we've prepared a prioritized list that I'll be talking about later in the presentation. We are proposing to continue past practice, which is to include projects from our previous 2015 list in this current 2018 triennial review list. And you can't see it very well, but at the bottom of this slide is the link to the triennial review webpage on our webpage. So as was done during the July workshop, I'm going to briefly revisit the 2015 triennial review list and the status of the top priority projects that were on that list. Enclosure number one on dates 3-5 shows the adopted list for the 2015 triennial review. Table 2, which can be found on date stamp 335, shows the status of the entire list of projects that were on the 2015 review list. This slide shows the projects that were given the highest priority, which was termed above the line. Those were the ones in yellow. We've made progress on all of these projects. The first topic on Squaw Valley groundwater and flow criteria was addressed during last November's board workshop. The proposed topics list shown in Table 4 in the staff report, date stamp 363, partially retains this topic, but it's been renamed as the proposed in-stream flow criteria item. So it retains some of that element of this project, but part of it was already completed in November. The other items from the 2015 list shown here are ongoing, meaning that staff are working on these items. Regarding the bacteria objectives topic, additional background for this item is provided in this slide. So the State Water Board recently adopted new statewide standards for bacteria that are tied to the REC1, which is the water contact beneficial use. This occurred at the August 7th State Water Board meeting. So this shows you what those new bacteria objectives are. The numeric objectives are based on E. coli as the indicator bacteria. The geomean is applied as a rolling 6-week value, not to exceed 100 colony-forming units of CFU per 100 milliliters, while the statistical threshold value is 320 CFU per 100 mils, and that's done as a 30-day static period. So these new freshwater standards apply to the REC1 beneficial use throughout the state. But it's important to recognize that these objectives do not supersede the bacteria objectives in the Lahontan Basin Plan, which are based on fecal coliform, and these are the fecal coliform standards apply to all waters in the region. They're not tied to a beneficial use. Okay. And in the State Board's resolution, which is the Enclosure 5, the late edition, there was language that encourages the Lahontan Water Board to prioritize the evaluation of the fecal coliform objective in the current triennial review process. So we'll be moving along, and these are additional projects that were on the 2015 list that were not the top priorities. They were considered below the line, for which some progress occurred since the last triennial review. The projects are all found in the Table 2, the project descriptions for these, which was at base stamp 335. So the first project to identify streams where it may be appropriate to develop flow criteria, this has been addressed in part through a State Water Board report entitled In-Stream Flow Studies for the Protection of Public Trust Resources, a Prioritized Schedule and Estimate of Costs. So this report that was produced by the Division of Water Rights at the State Board includes 21 streams in the Lahontan region, 8 of which were given the top priority, or their number one priority, to determine the flow criteria. And the list that our streams are on were the streams without anadromous fish. So there's different tables in that report, and the Lahontan region, there are no anadromous fish in the Lahontan region. So, and then the rest of the projects were not being addressed since the last triennial review because resources weren't available for those. So in the new triennial review list, the 2018 list, we now have 27 proposed projects. Table 4 in the staff report, which begins on date stamp 357, it presents all of the 27 topics with a description of each project, and they're ordered in staff's proposed prioritization. 21 of the projects are continued from the 2015 list, which includes items that are required to take place, such as program management and conducting the 2021 triennial review. We did inadvertently leave off one of the projects from the 2015 list that we had intended to carry over to the 2018 list, and that is the project to develop a standard for deposited embedded sediment for the Truckee River. This was a mistake. It was meant to be on our current list, and it will be in the list that goes forward. And this was Project 15 on the 2015 list, so there is a project description for that Truckee River embedded sediment project in that previous list. And that description is on base stamp 347. So the proposed list includes 6 new projects. However, it's important to remember the board may wish to combine, remove, or add additional items if you would like to, in response to public input or your judgment. So we're here to listen to that input later on. Let's see. So of the newly proposed topics, the first one, found on date stamp 362, is the tribal cultural and subsistence beneficial uses. The State Water Board, in their resolution 2017-0027, when they adopted new mercury standards or mercury water quality objectives, they also established new beneficial uses for tribal cultural use, tribal subsistence fishing, and non-tribal subsistence fishing. So this project would consider adding those new beneficial uses to our basin plan. It also includes developing an approach to designate waters with those uses where they currently exist or could exist in the future. The State Board resolution establishing those beneficial uses did not include a timeline for such designations and does not require that the regional boards designate waters with those uses. Regional boards generally consider prioritizing the designation of beneficial uses during the triennial review process. So given the establishment of these new tribal and subsistence uses, having this project on our list gives the board an opportunity to consider how to prioritize adding these uses and designating them in our basin plan. The second project, which is found on date stamp 366, is a federal requirement to evaluate and consider adopting any new objectives that the US EPA developed since the last triennial review. There have been several new 304A criteria adopted since the last review, Additionally, there are efforts underway at the State Board to develop statewide standards for some of the pollutants for which these three, what they call 304A criteria, are available. So at this point, we'd like to see if the State Board can address the new 304A criteria on a statewide basis, which may be more efficient than for each region to do it. And then we also will be hearing later on about the removing the prohibition for pier construction. There will be more heard at this meeting about that when Bob gives his talk later. Right? These three items all came from staff suggestions. The first two can be found on date stamp 357 and 358, and the third one is on 365. Climate change adaptation and mitigation. This project would be informed by the forthcoming climate change adaptation and mitigation strategy that is currently under development. It would focus on any recommended basin planning fixes identified in the strategy that would improve watershed resiliency and protect groundwater recharge zones and floodplain areas. The source water protection addresses potential basin plan amendments that would protect water quality in the Sierra and San Bernardino headwater zones. Both these projects may be informed by a new initiative on source water protection, which is a collaboration between the State Water Board's Division of Water Quality and the Division of Drinking Water. Assistant Executive Officer Doug Smith is participating in this new initiative and focused on the protection of drinking water sources in headwater and groundwater recharge areas. There may be overlap between these projects and the riparian protection policy item, which had been on the previous, the 2015 review list. That project is found on date stamp 358. So these projects could be combined, but we have heard from board members, from some board members during the July workshop, their preference to keep these projects separate. A third project that's shown here was proposed by staff that involves evaluating the need to revise the water quality objectives for total dissolved solids and sulfate for Leviathan and Bryant Creeks. And both these creeks are influenced by Leviathan mine. Okay. So this shows the top priority basin planning projects in the order of priority proposed by staff. The table 3 in the staff report, which is basin stamp 353, provides some rationale for the prioritization that's shown here. Staff developed the prioritized list based on professional judgment, knowledge of available resources, and previous board input. So as with the 2015 triennial review, the evaluation of Lahontan Basin Plan's bacteria objectives is the highest priority topic, which can now be addressed with greater certainty since the State Board has adopted the statewide Rec 1 standards. The next three projects were discussed during the July workshop, and several board members expressed support for prioritizing these efforts. Those are the climate change, source water, and the riparian protection policy. And then the next three projects, or the remaining four, are currently being worked on by staff. And again, you'll hear more about item 7, the pier prohibition. We also anticipate that the evaluation for item 8, which is regarding our language in the basin plan describing the mean of monthly means, that evaluation is likely to be complete by the November board meeting, so it could affect its position on the list. So this is showing the schedule for the entire triennial review process. We began with the noticing of the July workshop, which took place on, the notice itself went out on June 4th, 2018, and that's enclosure 2 is the notice. After today's workshop, we'll be preparing for the public hearing at the November board meeting in Apple Valley. Note that we extended the comment deadline until September 24th when we had released to provide time to receive comment on the prioritized list. So far, we've only received one comment so far, and it was regarding the removal of the pier prohibition, and so I think we'll be hearing more about that. And then after the comment period closes, staff will prepare a response to comments document and the final prioritized list of projects will be considered for adoption at the November board meeting in Apple Valley. Okay? And so, to close, I just want to remind everyone that the overall goal of the workshop is to provide an opportunity for the board and the public to give input on the proposed list of basin planning projects. This could involve commenting on project details, the order of priority, request additional projects. Those are some types of comments. To the public, we do our best to take notes on your oral comments. But to ensure that we accurately capture your comment, we'd recommend following up with a letter or email, and the email address is shown here. You would want to put in your subject title, 2018 Triennial Review, for when you send comments. So now, I'll return the floor to the chair and entertain comments and questions and project suggestions.
What I'd like to do is take questions from the board, but not comments. Sort of hold comments until everyone from staff and from the public has given us their input, so we can consider all of that at one time. But I want to make sure if there are any questions from any of the board members that we get to those now while this information is fresh, hopefully, in our minds. So I'll start with Ms. Cox. Any questions?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I do have a question. Looking at the 2015 Triennial Review Priority List, the item 15 is the Truckee River item. When were we notified that that was inadvertently omitted and we needed to include it?
I think now. that was.
Hello, I'm Scott Ferguson. I'm supervising Water Resource Control Engineer, and we received an email or a phone call about a week or so ago, bringing it to our attention from the Truckee River Watershed Council staff, and we've been in contact with them since and let them know that we would be bringing it to your attention. They're aware that we have not issued a revised list to date, reflecting that our intention to put it on the list, but we have been in contact with them, both phone conversation this morning, followed up by an email letting them know that that was our intent, was to notify you of the oversight and or the omission, inadvertent omission, and then with our intent to put it on the proposed list to be brought before you in November.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm wondering if we should extend the public comment period even further. This won't come before the board until November, so is there any thought of extending the public comment period, or do you need time as staff to review those comments?
We do need time to review and respond to comments that come in, and so that pushes us up against the limit a little bit. Now, in this process to bring the proposed list before you in November, there will be a public notice that goes out a minimum of 45 days before the November board meeting. And then our actual proposed list, and I believe the draft staff report, is required to be released a minimum of 30 days before the November board meeting date when it would be heard. And then the public, as Jennifer explained earlier, is also has the opportunity to share their thoughts and ideas at that board meeting and make additional recommendations on their part. So I think given the nature of our conversation with Truckee River Watershed Council earlier today, and I think and they are here today, so they can speak directly to it if they'd like. I think we have adequate time built in with the current schedule and adequate notification and time for the public and others to review what we're going to actually propose to you in November, and then another opportunity for them to provide comments at the November board meeting. So I would recommend sticking with the current comment period, closing date of September 24th.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. No further questions.
Thank you. Mr. Dias, any questions?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Jardine, any questions?
No questions.
Mr. Sandell?
I have a couple small ones. What number would the Truckee River water quality objective be in this current list of 23?
To be determined.
Yeah, I think that's to be determined.
To be determined, okay. And I have a very general question, which I don't expect an actual answer to, but is there some creative way that we could find some more money to be able to do more of these things than we ever seem to ever get to?
I think I can answer that. We are working on creative ways of finding potential resources to help, as well as doing creative things of combining these with other activities. And that's why we heard from Mr. Larson about how to do that. So we're trying some creativity.
And Board Member Sandell, one other thing I'd like to add to your previous question, and that is, as you saw with some of the 2015 triennial review projects that were categorized as below the line, were in our top priorities, you still saw that we got to some of them for a variety of reasons, and again, we're always looking for creative solutions and approaches. And just because something isn't above the line doesn't mean it won't receive attention. And in my conversations with Truckee River Watershed Council today, we are committed to working, and they are committed to working towards advancing this project, even if we're not able to put really much resources into it. And that may be something that's needed anyways, in order that when we return in 2021, with the next time that we're doing triennial review, that that might make it more ripe for action at that time. So just because it doesn't make the initial cut doesn't mean it doesn't get any attention.
Thanks for the clarification.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Horn, any questions?
Yeah, I'm curious. There are a number of projects that appear in more than one program. So some are on the triennial review or in basin planning, but they also appear in other places in reviewing the accomplishments list from the staff that was prepared in March. And so I'm just curious, I would like to understand better the division of labor between why projects are entered, or there's double entry of these projects in different programs. And if it's really being so, is there something in particular that the basin planning unit is providing to the project that's different from what is being done in another program? So the example that comes to mind, because Bob happens to be sitting here, is Lake Tahoe Nearshore. So you can use that as an example to explain to me the different, what aspects of that are under basin planning and what aspects are under the special duties that Mr. Larson has.
Well, my understanding is that the projects that we're looking at here in the triennial review are going to be things where we do have to make changes to the basin plan and go through a basin plan amendment process. So there may be things that are coming up in some of the other programs at the Nearshore that eventually lead to needing to change water quality objectives, where the basin planning unit helps with that part of the process, like the basin planning.
But there are also projects that are in the triennial review that end up under further examination, not leading to a basin plan.
That's true too. And some of them are evaluating the need for that,
So it just gets confusing, and I'm just kind of wondering, you know, so if we have limited resources under basin planning, which one of these are, you know, do they really belong on the basin planning list or under a different program?
I think as you've seen with like climate change covers just about every program, can touch many different programs that we work on. And I think you can see the same thing if you really think about it. Our basin plan provides guidance for all of our different programs that we're involved with. The list doesn't, because it's on the list, doesn't mean solely the basin planning unit will be working on it. And your example with the Tahoe Nearshore is a perfect example of that. But it is something that does, in the Nearshore example, require a basin plan amendment. Many of these others that are on here, the basin plan unit will be focused on doing evaluation on whether or not, say, a basin plan amendment is the right step. And a good example of that one is where we were looking at the Mojave River surface water and groundwater basins. We did the evaluation during the that was a combined project in the 2015 review list. The basin planning unit, Jennifer, in addition to one of our senior specialists, Lisa Durbach, it was split duty. Lisa took a look at the groundwater, Jennifer focused on the surface water. And as a result of the analysis, the surface water, based on our evaluation, the recommendation is that we amend the basin plan to change some beneficial uses around. Jury's still out on where the groundwater evaluation. We still need additional evaluation. That's why it's a separate item on the 2018. We still see that being done by staff in coordination with basin planning staff. But the staff themselves working or the primary lead don't have to be in the basin planning staff. And this is part of our creativity in trying to get the work done and putting the best expertise that we have on our staff on the job to make the most efficient progress that we can. So does that help provide a little light on?
It's a little confusing when, you know, PYs or anyway, when we start adding PYs to the list, but it's not, these PYs may or may not be in the basin planning unit. So it's just a little hard to understand.
I think there's opportunities when the project is maybe more program specific, where we may have some flexibility in our funding, whereas some of these projects where it's evaluating the need, maybe more just in the realm, or maybe the expertise is in the basin in our planning and assessment unit, and we apply our basin planning resources, our limited ones, to that. But I think part of this is we're getting back to how can we get more stuff on this list done? How can we be creative and legitimate in our expenditures and still make progress on this lengthy list? And I think, as some of the slides show, we have completed a limited number. We've made significant progress, and several of them are ready right on the doorstep for action. And that's, you'll see the Mojave, I think, is tentatively scheduled for January or March, sometime in 2019. Mr. Larson's going to be opening up the scoping process for the Nearshore one, or for the Tahoe Pier one. So we're making progress, and we're doing the best with what we have.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have no questions. Thank you very much for not only your presentation, but what seems like a tremendous amount of work on this. Greatly appreciated. I have one speaker card for this item from Lisa Wallace.
Good evening, board members.
You have to turn the microphone on. There you go.
Thanks. Usually, I think of these microphones as red being off, but I'm Lisa Wallace. I'm with the Truckee River Watershed Council, and I'm saying good evening to the board members and Kimberly Cox down south and everyone who's here in the audience, and thank you for letting me make some comment. I did especially want to thank board members Kimberly Cox and Eric Sandell, along with Scott Ferguson, for clarifying the status of the Truckee River embedded deposited sediment standard. And, you know, it happens. You know, there's lots of documentation and lots of content to work with. So we really appreciate the staff's responsiveness in assuring us that the project will be listed. I also wanted to thank Jennifer Watts. It's really, it's a lot of material to consider for the basin plan amendments, and it was a very clear presentation and packet, easy to, it was easy for us to discover a while ago that we were missing because everything was so clearly laid out. And I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment. It's a lot of information and a great compilation. I do just want to quickly remind the board members that in 2014 and in 2015, we submitted comment letters. In 2015, it was very substantial, demonstrating, summarizing for you the lines, various lines of evidence that we had from our many years of water quality monitoring that showed that the current TMDL, while it is often being met, our beneficial uses, particularly cold and spawn, are clearly not being met. So we have a TMDL standard that isn't delivering on the beneficial uses. And our recommendation was to consider and investigate an embedded or deposited sediment standard. And we provided some examples where this has been used in other parts of the state. As you've already heard, that project was below the line in the last triennial review, and so it's not going to surprise you. I'm here to make a very strong case and recommendation for lifting that project above the line in the current triennial review. There's a lot of priorities. I definitely understand that, and limited resources, but I feel like we've waited our time in the queue, and it's time to move up. In the spirit of that, I was really considering the last conversation of efficiency and creativity, and noticed that the second and third proposed priorities are around climate change and source water protection. And one consideration is for the request for the Truckee River additional standard to be considered in the context or paired with climate change or source water protection. It could be a case study or an example of, for example, with climate change, we're seeing a shift in precipitation patterns. It's likely to trigger more, even more excessive erosion than we have, making the need for the standard more important. And that, I think, can be considered in the context of climate change. There's a parallel line of reasoning for the source water protection. So appreciating that there's a really limited set of resources, but, you know, how can we meet the goals of one important part of the region with the overall goal of what the region needs to move ahead. Thank you for hearing my comments this evening and for your continued care of the Truckee River watershed.
Don't run away until I find out if anyone has any questions. Board Member Cox?
No questions. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Dias?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Jardine?
No questions.
Mr. Sandell?
No questions, thank you.
Dr. Hort?
No questions, thank you.
I have no questions.
So please I'm sit down.
Sorry.
Down.
Thank you again.
I hope I do not have any other cards, but is there anyone in the audience, member of the public, who wishes to address the board with respect to this agenda item? As they say, speak now or you don't ever hold their peace. You don't ever make anybody do that. If there are none, what I'd like to do then is to go back to the board members and ask for comments in response to what we've heard here.
this evening, again beginning with Board Member Cox.
Thank you, Chair. No comments. I just want to thank the staff for their efforts on this project. I think it's a very important process that we go through. Thank you.
Mr. Giles.
Yes, thank you. I'm very pleased with the 27 proposed 2018 projects. I'm especially pleased with the effort that staff has put in prioritizing these projects, and the top eight especially. And Jennifer provided an excellent presentation. Thank you.
Mr. Jardine.
No comments.
Just
a wonderful presentation. Thank you for the input.
Mr. Sandell?
I don't have any particular comments. I do think, and I'm not really, it's subtle, I'm not sure how to explain it, but it does seem like the list this time has a certain kind of a solidity about it that was previously lacking. You know, that's pretty serious. But, anyway, but could somebody explain to me what a biotic ligand model is for copper?
That is... So that is a way that is used to determine the water quality criteria for metals, and it's a model that includes other constituents that affect the toxicity of metals. It's often used for copper. So they use things like dissolved organic carbon and other things in the water that change how toxic metals can be, and so it's an EPA model that can be used to determine the criteria for metals.
Is that something?
Okay. No, I think
it's a model.
No, but that's what it is.
Thank you.
Comments, Dr. Horn.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I have a particular affinity for the triennial review because the very first meeting of the Lahontan Board I attended as a board member was the meeting in which we adopted the 2003 triennial review, and I had no idea what was going on. I was told just vote yes, which I did. But I listened, so I wasn't at the July board meeting, but I did listen to the recording that's on our website of that item in the July board meeting and to the board's comments of that board meeting. And people were, well, going back to the 2003 triennial review, it has on here one item is site-specific beneficial uses for Paiute ponds, which is still on our list somewhere. I mean, there are other things in here which are still on our list. And so it's having had jobs where I had long projects that lasted for years, it was very hard to see progress. I know that I personally felt weighed down and demoralized by that. And I thought I was picking up that same sort of comment from the other board members listening to what was said in July. So I began thinking about it, asking, might there be some way to improve the triennial review so that both staff and board members and the public have some sense that we're making progress. Let's see. I mean, many of the projects that we have on the prioritized list, we know are going to take years. I mean, adapting the basin plan to accommodate climate change policies is a huge project, and it's going to be going on for years. Thinking back to projects that we have completed in the past, the Tahoe TMDL took 10 years. That's 3-4 cycles of the triennial review. But I think it's possible to kind of break these projects down and tie them more closely to annual work plans, so that the what is specifically going to be accomplished related to climate change. I mean, as Ms. Wallace pointed out, embedded sediment in the Truckee River could be fall under the climate change rubric. We're not going to solve the climate change issue in the next triennial review, but and we haven't adopted our strategy for climate change yet, but the question is, what within that strategy, what are the highest priorities and what bites of those can we accomplish within a triennial review period, within a three-year period? So, I mean, it just, our list feels to me like a grab bag of stuff that people have proposed ideas, you know, that and it would be helpful, I think, to have some criteria for sorting, to make it clear what the criteria are. And for example, projects that are underway, we might as well continue working on them. There's a tension between projects that are basin-wide and projects that are site-specific, because it's the same amount of work for the basin planning staff regardless. So, you know, there's a sense that there's a bigger bang for the buck if they are focusing on projects that are basin-wide as opposed to site-specific. But on the other hand, then things like pipe ponds we never get to. Protecting water quality and beneficial uses. I looked at what the San Diego board did, and they their main priorities, they had three. One was projects that protect water quality and beneficial uses. The second one is projects that make the basin plan more reasonable or attainable while being protective. And the third is housekeeping clarifications and updates triggered by state or federal action. The third one is always there, and you know, that's just a given. We do that. Something that comes up for us from time to time is when permittees that people that are institutions that are on NPDES permits, and where the natural there are natural constituents in the background water that then trigger minimum mandatory penalties. So then we are penalizing them when for effluent that for constituents in their effluent that were in the influent that came into their facility, and that just doesn't feel fair. I don't know if that's something that we have to approach site by site, or again whether there's some global approach for trying to solve that problem. And then there's stakeholder requests. Example A. I mean, these are all really good projects. I think it's good to keep a running list of all the projects. That's fine. And then I also do like having the above the line and the below the line projects. And there may be other criteria that I haven't listed here, but just to be pretty thoughtful about how we prioritize these projects. And then within the triennial review, within the project listed for triennial review itself, describe it in terms that can be accomplished in 3 years. So understanding, so take, for example, the Tahoe-Tin deal. So there were a couple of completed projects that were milestones on the way. One was the technical report, one was the pollutant reduction opportunity, otherwise known as the PRO report. So the question is, what do we need in order to solve solve the problem in the basin plan? Do we need to collect data? Do we need to complete research? Do we need to synthesize data into a technical report? Do we need to develop an approach to implementation? I mean, what is it that we need to do and to define a practical step that can be done within this cycle of the triennial review. And then we can cross that off the list, understanding that we haven't solved climate change or source water protection or whatever it is, but we have accomplished a step towards that larger programmatic goal. I think it'd be helpful to schedule workshops, or maybe not workshops, maybe that's not the right word, but for the basin planning unit to come back to us as progress is being made to give us updates. So, because I was looking at the list of things that were accomplished in the, and I was like, oh, I hadn't heard about that. And it's nice to know. And it, just to kind of, so that we're all aware and can celebrate the fact that progress has been made on the triennial review projects. For example, the Mojave surface water beneficial uses, that would be a great one to hear about. And climate change, I mean, that's a placeholder right now because we're still developing this strategy. I apologize, I happen to like things that San Diego Board does, but they developed a resolution, a climate change resolution, and so this, I'd be curious to know if other board members would think it would be a good idea for us to actually adopt a resolution when our climate change strategy is completed, and then whatever climate change project comes out of the strategy then would go into the triennial review. Let's see. Yeah, an idea project from that. So those are my thoughts. I mean, the main point I'd like to make is that I think it would be helpful to define the chunk of the project that would be accomplished within this cycle of the triennial review. And that way we all can have a sense of moving forward on, and making progress on these projects. Because they are long-term projects. They do take a long time.
Every now and again, I find myself thinking about what are the things about being on the Regional Water Board that make me crazy. And I try to control the length of time I spend on this because I understand it can be excessive. And it's nobody's fault, exactly. But one of those things is that there's a lot of artifice that we go through in terms of creating a structure for how we're going to go forward. And I've never been a person that related well to charts that had this part over here, did this, but it sort of did something over here. So it's very hard for me. It's a hard concept. I had a glimmer of understanding of what we're about tonight when there was the explanation that the triennial review is tied to what may possibly require changes in the basin plan for us to do our business. I'm not sure I fully understood that before, so that makes a certain amount of sense to me. The problem is, I guess, two or threefold. We don't know, as we start on these things, whether or not we really are going to have to make changes in the basin plan. And I think it's fine to find out that we don't, because that in itself is such a god-awful, cumbersome process, that the fewer times we'd have to enter that swamp, the better we would probably be for that. But it's kind of confusing for me, and I think I understand what Dr. Horn is saying, and I think it must be confusing for people who have to confront the board how that exactly works. That this is planning for the plan,
And this, then there are other things we do that aren't planning for planning for the plan. They're planning for planning for something else or some kind of project or whatever. So things kind of get lost. I really like the concept that some of these things fit inside other of these things. And I tried to speak to that in July, and I'm not sure that I've made any sense when I did that. So I'm going to try again. You're absolutely right. Everything we do, and I think we started the project to come up with a climate change strategy with the goal that that strategy would inform every single thing we did every day of every week as an agency, because we want the things we do to be responsive to and productive within the context of trying to deal with what we have to fend off in terms of climate. But it's hard to say that that's a goal of a three-year goal. But there are absolutely things that are part, that respond to climate change, that maybe could be a part of a more proximate approach. I'd like to see some effort, and I would love to give you guidance. One of the things I hate is that you always ask for guidance from the board. And I always feel really badly as I go home because I have provided you with no guidance at all, except to work harder, do more with less, and make whatever you do understandable to someone like me. All three of those things I recognize are pretty close to impossible. But I'm going to ask you again to do that. And the thing I'm going to ask you to do is to try to create some kind of a sense. I'm not sure you could be any more vague than that. That tells us what are the constituent parts of the triennial review that speak to climate change. One of the things I think that does is it gets us from 27 potential projects to maybe a smaller number. And a smaller number is more hopeful, as Dr. Horn says. I'm not going to be on the board for 15 years. So I, in looking at this item and some things that happened were discussed on the chair's call on Monday, it really dawned on me. I said 4 years ago, or five, or whatever it was, that I would seek another term on the board because I wanted to get to conclusion on this or that or whatever. Well, it's really clear to me now that I'll never get the conclusion on this or that or whatever. I think that's probably okay. That's sort of the nature of the beast. But it would sure be nice to get to this or that or conclusion of some parts of it. To be able to say, we did these five things, and we think that they help not only address climate change in their own discrete place, but also give us a template for where we can address climate change in some other places. So I'd like to ask you if you could do something that would help us see where the little parts fit into the big parts and maybe reconfigure this 1 to 28 a little bit in that way. And also to see where this part would give us a result that we could take somewhere else. I think we're fond of saying, well, we do a lot of work at Lake Tahoe because Lake Tahoe is really important, and it's a driver in many ways of what this agency does. And we're fond of saying, you know, we should really look hard at where the things that we do in Lake Tahoe and learn at Lake Tahoe can be exported from Lake Tahoe into other parts of the region so we don't have to invent a bunch of new wheels. I'd like us to see if we could identify inside of this triennial review the places where we think working on Project 3 informs 10 other projects that aren't listed on here and don't have to be because they won't require a basin change in any foreseeable way, but we're getting a lot of bang out of our buck. It tells us that these little bitty resources we have are being spent more efficiently. I can't ask you to come up with less than 28, and I think if we all thought really hard, we'd ask you to come up with 50 projects, because they're all really important. So what I'm going to ask you to do is see if there's a way to talk about how this prioritization occurs. Is it occurring because here's five things that we're pretty sure we can make significant progress on? Or is it occurring because here are five things that we think are just super duper important and they dwarf everything else? Or is it occurring because here are five things that are so global, like climate change, that we can't not address them in any kind of good conscience? And if that's the case, I'd just like to know how that came about. Why was that? What is the priority? I don't need to know why exactly, but just sort of what was it that made that come to pass? Maybe that then can teach us a way to find how to group small things into big things, move forward on big things by making smaller accomplishments be real, and then learn more about how to spread those accomplishments broader afield in trying to deal with climate change or whatever it turns out to be. So I know that's not particularly helpful, and I apologize for that, but this always seems to me to be some weird bureaucratic exercise, even though I've only done it three times as opposed to six. And that's not to diminish its importance, but it's also to say that to me it seems awfully artificial in some ways, and it doesn't inform me very much really about what we're going to do in the next 3 years, except look to see how these issues might require some changes in the basin plan. That's good, and I hope to see us come to a conclusion on that. But I think a lot of other people would like to see some resolutions that make things better where they live, or make things better on this particular body of water that they really care about, or make things better because it's easier to understand what it is that this board wants them to do in the future. And that may be just an organizational thing, the way that it's presented. It might not require dashing, dynamic new ideas, but maybe another way of just looking at how it's organized. So those are my comments, and I'm sorry I went on so long. Anything else from any member of the board? I'm sorry I took all of your time, but you know I do that. So you're stuck with that for a while. What I'd like to do then is wish you the best. I mean, that's all I can do. If I could buy you ice cream, I would do that if it would be helpful. But it probably wouldn't.
That's fine. We've got to work it out, of course.
Yeah, well, I always like to try to make things simpler for people. It's one of my endearing qualities. If there's nothing else on this item, what I'd like to do is take a 5-minute recess, because one of my goals today was to make sure I was fully hydrated. Although it's too much information, I have succeeded. So if we could come back in at 8:15, and we can move on to item 4. Thank you.